These men were standing in the way of progress. I merely acted to remove the corruption.
This is not the way succession is determined!
Until my sister's rule, succession was always determined by bloodshed. I did not want it to be so again. Better the blood of the few than the blood of the many.
You have murdered Mercia's Elderman.
And in doing so, I have ensured Mercia's protection. I will do as God wills. I will be king of the Angles and of the Saxons.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to The Last Kingdom on Netflix. So grab a nail, sit back and relax, and let's see how England was born. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and ladies and gents, if you couldn't hear it in the intro, well, you will be able to hear it in a minute. But Mary, I want to give Mary a lot of credit, as I did on the Bridgerton podcast, by the way. Go listen to that if you haven't listened to it already. But Mary's very, very, very sick, and she is muscling through. This is above and beyond the COVID experience, ladies and gents. This is like something weird, weird stuff.
It's not above and beyond.
No, it is above and beyond. It is.
This isn't worse than COVID.
No. I mean, like, it's on top of
the long COVID
COVID experience.
Yeah.
So she's very sick, and so please give her some grace, and you will most likely be stuck with me talking a lot this episode. So I apologize in advance, because I know nobody really wants to hear me. They only want to hear Mary, because she's the talent.
No.
She's the important one.
No.
She's the reason why all these shows are likable.
No. You educate them on so many things that I don't pay attention to or I don't care about.
That is fair. That is very
fair.
So then
I don't pay attention to them. Just like in my history class. I don't care about these people's
names.
They're all Bob.
Or George.
They all keep fighting. None of them do a good job. One day, women will inherit the earth.
Oh, yes. Thank you to Jurassic Park for that information, by the way. I mean, you know, God kills people and all that stuff, and women inherit the earth.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
That's how it works. Oh, man, Mary, that's it. This is episode 504. We have an emotional turning point here and a closure of, I think, some of the older plot lines of this story.
Yeah, rivals secretly advance, competing successors upon the death of Mercian ruler, a.k.a. Queen Ethelfled. And then Breeda finds solace in the faith of her prisoner, Father Pureleg.
Not solace. Solace.
Whatever, man. Solace.
Stats of the nerds.
Maybe she was also celebrating a solstice at that point. She is pagan.
She is pagan. You never know. I'm sure it's the 21st somewhere. Might as well be, right? So you can hear it, ladies and gents. Mary is coughing. She has a tank of water.
2 gallons worth, Blake. 2 gallons.
Imagine like an old Nalgene bottle that is 2 gallons worth of water. That's what Mary has in front of her.
128 ounces.
The thing, it looks like, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of one of those shells that you would put in like a big cannon, you know, like a modern day cannon. Like it's a massive looking blue Nalgene bottle that looks like a cannon shell.
Yep. It's as big as a baby. A like 2-month-old baby.
Oh, absolutely.
More than. I mean, our 2-month-old baby was this big because he was a honka.
Yeah. Wicked honka.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, that's that. So, of course, ladies and gents, like I said, you'll probably be stuck with me for most of this episode. As such, I wanted to remind you that you can subscribe to this podcast if you are not already. Why not? I don't get it. You listen to us. You enjoy the show. I know that you do. You're already 5 minutes into this program as it is. Subscribe to the podcast, will you? Of course, if you want to chat with Mary and I on a more personal level, you can find us on all the social media platforms, whether those are YouTube or Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We're there. We're there on all of them.
The place.
At Mary and Blake, we're there, ready to talk. And we're also ready to talk at the Mary and Blake Facebook group, where you can talk about things like The Last Kingdom and how much you love it and your experience with the podcast and the community, but also a whole bunch of other different things that we cover, like Bridgerton or This Is Us or Outlander or the upcoming Game of Thrones show or the old Game of Thrones show. Whatever, whatever you love, it doesn't matter what it is. You bring it up, and I am certain there's a couple of nerds, at least a bevy of nerds in that group, that love the same thing that you do. One of the things that we hear all the time and why people love our communities is because they don't have any, like a listener doesn't have a specific community with whom to share their love of the thing. In this community, in the Facebook one that we've created, you will find somebody that loves the thing just as much as you do. Mm-hmm. Try it. Check it out. It's free. It's fun. Go get it done. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. And of course, join the nerdclan.com. That's what makes all of this work. So if you're a NerdClan member, thank you so much for being a NerdClan member. You make all this podcast. In fact, you literally made this podcast possible because you voted for it at jointhenerdclan.com. And we have some other things coming up there as well, and a bunch of great bonus material that is not available to the general public, like our review of Stranger Things and other films and shows that we're doing there as well. So jointhenerdclan.com. Check that out. Marvin, are you ready for this episode?
I was born
you ready to get into this to the details?
Me and my 120 ounces of water. We're ready.
a literal baby-sized canister of water.
Bring it.
Let's do it. All right, Marvin, as we said, this is episode 504. Of course, no title. That's just the prerogative of The Last Kingdom. It was directed by Paul Wilmhurst. Now, Paul Wilmhurst is, an interesting director. He's got a whole bunch of different things. He's won some Emmys, and he has directed a bunch of different, what's it called? Documentaries, one in particular about Hiroshima, which was spectacular.
You love documentaries. Yeah.
I've seen that one in particular. It is great. He's also done a bunch of different shows for Law & Order UK, Doctor Who, Indian Summers, the show Jamestown, and also the show Strike Back, which is a big deal also in addition to The Last Kingdom. So
good director,
good stuff going on here, and you can tell that we got some talent behind the camera because of this episode. Mm-hmm. The writer was James Smythe. Now, I know you don't know that name. No one really knows that name because, really, he only has The Last Kingdom to his writing credits. He only has two. The only other thing that he has done in terms of writing credit, he actually wrote a video game called Bloodforge, which sounds very Last Kingdom-y, if you will. So that is that. Your shields rating. How many shields are you giving episode 504?
I'm giving this episode, a 4.6.
Okay. Anything in particular? Like you said it with a.
Yeah, like I'm kind of bored.
Really?
Yeah, I know a lot of people died, but I didn't really know them. And then Ethel fled, saw that coming. Like we knew she was going to die. So nothing really surprises me.
Okay. All right. I got you. This is
I just don't like a lot of people right now.
This is a rare instance in Mary and Blake Media. Rare instance. I'm higher than you. In fact,
I don't even know if this ever happened. In
fact, I'm way higher than you.
Okay.
I'm giving this a 4.9. I'm going 4.9 on this episode.
That's bananas.
I don't think it's bananas. I think it's well deserved.
No, I'm saying it's bananas that you're so much higher than me.
I would agree. That doesn't happen. It happens maybe one in every 30 or 40 episodes that we do of television.
You're just pulling that stat out of nowhere, man.
Well, you know what? I'm a dad. Dad's got to have answers. It doesn't matter if you make them up, if you pull them out of your butt.
Okay.
You just got to have answers. That's what dads do.
Okay.
So I got an answer. At least out of one out of every 30 or 40 episodes. Mm-hmm. You're lower than me. I really liked this episode. It was slow, but it was very theme heavy, and it was very intentional with its pace. Yeah. And that's all I ask. I want intent. I want theme, and I want an emotionality. Okay. Out of the episode. So that is that. Your GBG, Mary, what are you given for your good, your bad, and your great?
All right. So my good for this episode, dying. All the people dying.
All the death.
I'm here for it. You want to know why?
Why?
Death brings change. Death spices things up.
It does.
I was a little bored, okay, during some of these deaths because I don't know you. I don't care about you. But guess what? It's going to bring about change. Do I agree with Edward's decision?
Ooh.
No. Not at all. And that's my bad.
Well, we're gonna have a conversation okay? about this.
I hate Edward. He sucks. He's my bad. Why do you keep Uncle Phil around?
Why are you killing peeps? He put Uncle Phil in his place today.
I mean, but kinda, but like also killed all these like innocent people who have families. What the heck, man? Just put him in jail. Put him in time out. You don't need to kill them. So my bad is Edward. I'm not Team Edward. I don't think I'm ever going to be Team Edward. Never. Goodbye. I hate you.
In any Team Edward circumstance?
Even Cullen.
Even Edward Cullen. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Say it.
I know a lot of people love him. Sorry.
I'm totally Team Edward.
I'm a Jacob guy.
Out on Team Jacob.
That's fine.
Team Jacob sucks.
Seeing the behind the scenes CGI footage of Twilight. New Moon. It's amazing. It's terrible.
Or New Moon when Robert Pattinson had to have his abs painted on his stomach, literally.
It's all good. Okay. So I'm glad people are dying because it brings about change.
Yes.
I'm mad at Edward because I just think that he sucks. He's no Alfred. He's no Alfred in my books.
Oh, I don't know.
I know. You're fine. You're fine.
We're
going to
have this conversation.
I mean, it's mostly going to be you because I'll be coughing. But sure. My great father, Pure Leg, is potentially giving my cockroach Heston a run for his money.
Oh, that is
right.
Them's fighting words.
Like who is going to be the Twinkie after the apocalypse, Heston or Father Pierre? Like I don't know. I before would have always said Heston. Father Pierre, like
you know what he's doing?
Wow,
sprinkling a little doubt.
He's keeping his enemies close.
It always goes back to the Godfather. It's a Mary and Blake. It's a pseudo Mary and Blake media commandment. Always goes back to the Godfather. And Mary said it without even realizing it. It's great.
It's fine. I only now have 98 ounces to go. Yeah, Father Pure Leg. Tricky, sneaky, love it. I'm here for it.
Yes. Okay, good. My,
you know what he's like? He's like when those people call you, those spam calls, and mm-hmm. suddenly, and you've been like ditching them. And then one of them sneaks by you and you're like, this isn't a real call. This is a spam call.
How'd this happen?
Oh my God. He faked me out so well. Father Pure Leg is able to pray with Brita. What just happened?
Yeah, how'd
cockroach
how
level.
That happen?
They can both be cockroaches.
Who,
there you go.
Brita?
Heston and Pure Leg.
Oh, I don't know. Heston's on another level. That guy, I'm surprised he hasn't shown up yet in this season.
Well, it's... Listen, I'm proud of them both. That's my great. I'm officially giving him a cockroach crown.
If Heston doesn't show up in this season.
He has to.
I'm going
to
be disappointed.
Heston will show up. Mark my word.
Mock me.
Okay, you're Blake.
All right, my good. You know what, Mary, kind of following up on what you're saying here. Father Pure Leg, in addition to being a cockroach, in a good way, mm-hmm. he's a goddamn badass. I mean, straight up. Badass.
What's your language? Okay?
Well, this is a different podcast.
I know this is a different podcast, but I need to be careful of the language I'm associated with.
Okay, fair enough. He takes, a beating from Brita, giving him 1,000 cuts on his head and his neck. And you have an idea that the guy's going to croak, but he...
You think about how much it hurts you when you have a hair pulled.
Right.
Imagine your head being cut. That's a sensitive area.
Like straight up cut. Like, imagine, you know those, like, you know when you get a paper cut underneath your nail?
Oh, I do.
You know how miserable that is?
I know, because you complain all the time.
Picture it on your whole freaking body.
My finger.
Hurts, man. My finger has a heartbeat. But not only that, he takes the pounding, and then Breida has an existential crisis, and Father Pierlig is just, yep, okay, this is my time. This is my opportunity. I'm going to be an evangelist. I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to get it done, and we're going to start converting souls, baby. And he is in on it. I had a moment where I was watching this back and forth between the two, and I just had this a recognition of, wow, that is great stuff. Mm-hmm. When Breida is talking about how her daughter's dead and the gods have forsaken her and she's alone. And he says to her, no, you are not. And it's just the way that the line is delivered, mm-hmm. in the context, the timing.
Cue the Michael Jackson.
All of it. It is. It is spectacular.
Concur.
Love that. To be honest, I'm having a hard time figuring out a bad. I don't think I had a bad.
Good for you.
I don't think that I had a bad.
So is this a 5?
The only thing I'll say that I will say is bad, it's not necessarily in terms of writing or direction or any of those nerdy things, but it's Sig Trigger. Dude, love his new haircut, by the way.
Oh, I do not.
I'm in on it. I'm in on the braid.
The
mini braid.
I mean, he's like not as hot this season.
You don't think so?
Not yet. But you know, he did just get a whooping. Yeah.
He gussied himself up a little bit.
I know, but he's just kind of, he's not doing it for me.
The long hair is what did it for you?
I don't know, because I also love Finnan. So.
Oh, yeah, true.
Trigger's not my style without his hair, though.
I appreciate you. If I had to say something it would be character based, and that is Sig Trigger just kind of going along with his brother and being like, okay, come on now. And he's not listening to Steora, which this is going to be bad news.
I mean, this is marital issues right here.
No, I know. And I have to say, come on, man. You got to know better than that. You got to know better than that. If you don't know better than that, then what the hell are y'all doing here?
Well, I will tell you. When we got married, I said, I'm your family now. Not that creepily.
Yeah, that's true. It's an interesting thing.
They're your extended family? I'm your immediate family. And that's what Stuart should have pulled.
I worry about Sig Trigger. I worry about his brother. I worry that, you know, okay. And here's another thing too, like the whole 9 steps thing and the burn in his hands. I don't care.
So gross.
I don't care.
So
gross. It was gross as hell. Great. The artistic the art department on this and the makeup and the whole thing, spectacular job.
I mean, I was telling Blake, I'm like, first off, if I had to do this, I probably wouldn't. I would take a nice, swift sword to the head.
Yep, that's
you know
it.
Sid Tricker's going to be clean with his sword. However, I wonder if women who have had, people who've had birth, if they could handle that pain. Because mm-hmm. birth is wild, man.
That's birth is wild.
Yeah. So, who knows?
All right, my great is that this show refuses to make someone wholly good or wholly bad. It deals in the gray. And I love that. I love the fact that the show has an ability to take someone like Edward and pose a question and ask the viewer to answer the question for themselves. And that answer will then color your response to this episode and to what Edward is doing, and whether or not you can view him as a hero or a villain or someone who acts in these ways. You know, it's Game of Thrones did a pretty good job of this, but I think that The Last Kingdom is much more effective. Somebody that actually walked in this space mm-hmm. is Jaime Lannister. Mm-hmm. #spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. I would also kind of argue Tyrion Lannister for the first few seasons.
Or if you're not a Game of Thrones fan, Snape. Regulus Black.
Yes, that is...
Peter Pettigrew.
I would not say Peter Pettigrew.
He always sucked.
Yeah, he was not great, Bob.
Yeah.
But yeah, Snape, I would absolutely say Regulus Black.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great comparison.
And fun fact, if you're a Harry Potter fan...
You're a wizard, Harry.
I use Regulus Black as a learning tool for my kids all the time. You can make mistakes and make them better. And like, you know, clean up for your mistakes.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So that is my... Great. And so, Mary, having said that, mm-hmm. It's easy to kind of float towards the end of this episode, given what...
I don't need to float.
No, but I'm just saying, like, it's easy to go right to that point.
I feel like, are we hanging out with the Saxons, or are we hanging out with the pagans, with the Danes? Are we hanging out with Purelegg, or are we hanging out with Ethelfled? Where do you want to start? The quick, easy one, Purelegg Breeda.
Oh yeah, let's get it in and out. Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do Father Purelegg and Breeda, and then we'll go on from there. The funny thing is where I want to start is kind of what blends the two storylines together, which is the contrasting and comparing the fates of Ethelfled and Vibica, and how. It was the editing in this episode was spectacular.
Beautiful.
And the pacing between the mm-hmm. two scenes and how they have been stitched together mm-hmm. is triumphant in a way that, you know, it's kind of hard to have any feeling for Vibica at all. But when you compare and contrast that against the feeling that you know you already have for Ethelfled and they seemingly attach the two. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to not feel bad for Breeda at this moment. And it's kind of hard to not see her anguish the way that we obviously see the Mercian anguish, but in particular Uhtred's anguish mm-hmm. over Ethelfled's death. Did the editing illuminate the relationship shared between Vibica and Breeda for you?
Had we just met Breeda in season 5 and had this like tyrant of a woman come on in and her baby girl dies, I wouldn't feel this. But this is Breeda. This is season 1, episode 1 Breeda, mm-hmm. who, yes, has lost her way. But she is someone who we have grown to love. Mm-hmm. She's someone who Uhtred has grown to love. And she is a mother. And I think having to go through that pain, you know, she even says, like, you know, in your religion, what Vibica did means that she doesn't even get to go to heaven because in her mind, Vibica, you know, unalived herself. And, you know, she's referencing that, like, people who do that aren't allowed into heaven. Mm-hmm. And I just, obviously, that's not what Vibica meant to do. She thought she was jumping to her mom's arms and just didn't do well in the long jump. And it's just, I think we have the emotional investment already in Breeda, and then also having an innocent, I mean, granted, Vibica was crazy and weird and made a lot of people die, but an innocent child's life lost in such a tragic way. I felt hard for Breeda. And then she lost all of her friends, too.
Oh, yeah.
All the white paint face people.
They checked out.
They say, I don't want to jump in holes.
I'm out on the hole jumping experience.
I don't. No, the feather girl's gone. I'm gone. Let's go find a new feather kid.
Yeah. Breeda is in a really bad position right now. Okay. And I would say that the emotional experience that she has, I think, is earned mm-hmm. because everything that she thought she had disappeared in pretty much a hot beat. Like, literally, in a hot beat, gone. Mm-hmm. As awful as Breeda has been this season, and awful in terms of her actions, but also like in terms of her characterization, where she went from, you know, I think a sympathetic character in many ways to a radicalized character. And I think whenever you get radicalized in that nature, in whatever nature it is, once you become radicalized, the feeling of connection is gone. You know, it's hard, I think, for the general public to empathize with radicalism in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, when all of these things disappeared on her, and when all of, you know, when her kid dies and her followers go and she's left with nothing, I felt bad. I did. Yeah. I know why, but that you're right, Mary, because we had that connection, because we had that, investment in Breeda as a character. It almost feels like what she was doing was, even though she was radicalized, it was the exception, not the rule. It was an act. Mm-hmm. And because of that, because you feel like it's somewhat of an act,
mm-hmm.
you kind of revert back to the, you know, I care about Breeda aspect of it. Would you agree that
yeah.
it was almost like she was just trying to, it's like when you're trying to be a cool kid and like you act up in front of your mom, like you're showing off. Like, I feel like she was showing off a little bit.
Oh, I didn't feel that. I just felt like she's now reached her lowest low. I don't feel like before was an act. I feel like this is just the humbling point.
Sure. And I think there's another interesting aspect here, too. If you remember back in season one, we have a similar experience with Guthrum. Remember the guy that took over Wessex for a little bit there?
Oh my God, what even happened to him?
And he went to go rule Efferwich or whatever.
Wait, Guthrum, was he the
one who converted at the end of the season.
Oh, okay. He was the one that with bone in his beard.
Yeah, the bone in his hair or beard. Yeah, whatever.
Because I get him mixed up with the king who was like in a corral and who sucked at being a king.
Yes. That's right.
Gisela's brother.
Yes, Gisela's brother.
Okay, so Guthrum
bone hair guy.
Pagan.
Turned into a Christian.
Yes.
Okay, great. I remember back in season one, at the end of the episode, when I was like, okay, and Guthrum's now a Christian. Yay, he's baptized. And it kind of came out of nowhere. Like there was a little bit of a foreshadowing of it throughout the season. But from him to go from 0 to 100,
mm-hmm.
in a matter of just a couple of lines of exposition, I had a hard time with that. I think this is the show kind of making up for that.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that Breeda is going down this road? Like, do you think Purelig is actually going to convert Breeda?
No.
How come?
I think Breeda's lost.
Really?
I think she is lost. Lost in grief and sorrow. And I don't think that she's going to be converted anytime soon.
I think an interesting counterpoint to that, Mary, is she asked her daughter to jump. And she did it with the thought that she was going to have protection from her gods. And her gods would keep her daughter safe.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to be strong in her faith with her gods, but I don't think she's going to become Christian.
Right. But there's also a key sequence here where Purelig says, your daughter's in heaven and you will be reunited with her.
Mm-hmm.
Will Breeda convert to Christianity specifically because she just wants to be with her daughter when it's all said and done?
She will definitely mull it over.
And that's the interesting thing.
But will Breeda get that magical hair wet? No. And be baptized? No.
Oh, good God, no. No.
I think she was already baptized. Didn't he say that? That you were like, you know, you were born Christian.
Yes.
I don't know. She'll be on a journey. I don't think Purelig's dream is going to come true.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure if it will either, but I just think that there is a sort. I think there's a guilt that's associated.
Agreed.
With Vipika's death, because I think deep down, Breeda knows that she's the one who caused the death. And I guess this is why, you know, the show had to put you know, poor little Vipica in that position where it's like, okay, I'm going to go on a roof and figure that out. I still think that that was a poor choice. They still think there could have been a more creative choice made to make a point. Nevertheless, I do love the result of what's coming, which is Brita's questioning of her own deal, right? A questioning of her own faith and questioning the loss and her responsibility in it. Mm-hmm. And then comparing and contrasting that against the loss that Aelswyth has when it comes to her daughter, yes, Ethelfled, or against the loss that Elfwyn has losing mm-hmm. her mother, or even really the loss that Uhtred feels when it comes to losing Ethelfled. What did you think? If you have nothing else to go on for Brita, then we can move on to Ethelfled and that whole side of the story. But you have anything else for Brita?
No, it pained me. I think that it was a very moving portion of the episode, and one of the deaths that, even though I didn't care for Vipica per se, it pained me. And there was so much death, and the death was my good. And this was one of them, was seeing the mourning and seeing the conversations that were had and the ripple effects of Vipica. So God bless Vipica. Let's move on.
Yeah. No, and I think the major theme, and as we all know from Mary and Blake Media history, I think the theme of any show, it isn't just like love or death or brotherhood. Like it's not just a thing. It has to be, Mary, as you know, a question. Mm-hmm. What is being asked? What is being proven by the theme? Like, what is being proven by the show, and what is the show saying? That is the theme. And my sense from the theme of what they're trying to achieve in this episode is, what is faith in the face of death, right? And that is explored in many different ways. And I think a really, really underappreciated scene, and one of my favorite scenes I think I've seen of this show, is the conversation between Aelswyth and Uhtred right after Ethelfled dies, and what that means, and how that again is compared and contrasted against what Brita is doing. Brita is potentially finding faith in God as a result of her daughter's
death. She's exploring.
And Aelswyth, of all people, is losing faith in her God because she feels as though God has abandoned her as a result of Ethelfled's death.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of this scene, Mary?
Loved it. Once again, death, my good. Because it's making these fixed in their way women question if their way has been right all along.
Yeah.
You know, like, we have Aelswyth and Brita, who have been very focused on their faith priorities.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just to see them question after all this time. We think about everything that Aelswyth has gone through,
mm-hmm.
everything that Brita has gone through, and yet steadfast in their faith. And for them both to now say, like, what in the world? I mean, we are very fortunate that we haven't had to go through a child here on Earth dying before us. Mm-hmm. You know, we've opened up, of course, we've had miscarriages, but I can't even fathom how much that would shake us to have a child who we've gotten to know over the years and, you know, have had all these dreams for pass before us. That grief is unimaginable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I loved that Aelswyth not only goes through this journey, but that the person she shares it with is Uhtred, the person who she has ostracized solely because of his faith. Has, you know, all the time she would tell Alfred, no, you can't trust him because he's pagan. I know he's saved us a million times, but you can't trust him because he's pagan.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to convert his kids because he's pagan. You know, when Uhtred has shown time and time again that he could be trusted, that he was doing many of the right things for her country. And now this is who she decides to open up to. I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah, and accepting, like, again, we always talk about journeys, right? Where does one character begin and where do they end? And in the middle is the journey. In the middle is the meat of what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. The drama is the sense of change. That change is brought on by death or happiness or love or friendship or comedy or, you know, what it could be brought on by anything. But that sense of change is what we're all doing here as in watching whatever particular media that we're doing. I mean, for Aelswyth to reach out to Uhtred the way that she, like, that subtle movement, it reminded me of a play. It reminded me of, like, you know, something that you would see in Shakespeare, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's just this movement of touching Uhtred, that unsaid acknowledgement and the unsaid acceptance of Uhtred as an equal and as someone that she can place her worries and her doubts and all of these things onto someone like Uhtred. Whereas before, she wouldn't even look at the guy. And it's funny because he has been with her through all of this. Mm-hmm. And he's probably one of the only people still around that knew Alfred in a way that nobody else really did. And has experienced all of the same things that Aelswyth has experienced along with her and given her a different perspective. Again, showing and not telling, it just felt like that reaching out was, obviously, it was very intentional and it was very purposeful, but man, what a great little beat for those two characters.
I agree.
So we brought up Alfred. I did. And Mary, I gotta say, Edward, very Alfred move, Alfredian move, if you will, by consolidating these kingdoms. And we talk about change and we talk about bookends. You know, the episode begins with Aelfwyn looking at the throne, the empty throne, and the shadow, like the literal shadow that is filling, the dark shadow that is filling this throne. And the episode, you know, relatively speaking, ends with Edward acting in a way that I think Alfred would, and actually using his physical form, his body, to fill the seat. To sit down and become the king of Mercia. Man, that was a that was chilling. Not chilling, but it sent me into, like, oh, that was good. That felt right.
It did not feel right to me.
No, but I mean the act of the change itself in terms of what we're watching. But I will also say that I feel like that is an action that Alfred would have taken.
I feel like Alfred, yes. Could he have taken it? Yes. But I feel like we as the viewers would have been more privy to his thought process. And maybe that's why it feels different. Alfred talked so frequently with Aelswyth. And so we kind of got to be this little, you know, Jiminy Cricket on his shoulder.
But is it more effective now because we don't have that perspective? Like, you know, we get some perspective from Edward.
I don't think Alfred would have killed all those guys.
How come?
Because Alfred would have said, they're Christians and there's no reason to kill them. And that's like a big bad sin.
That's fair. Do you notice that Edward walks around with his hands together?
Yeah.
Like Alfred used to? Like, interesting little character note.
I just don't think it was right to kill all those guys.
Yeah, but
put them in timeout. Put them on a ship.
Is the notion correct? Like, and again, this is why I like when the show operates in these levels of gray, right?
Why let Uncle Phil still live? If it was Uncle Phil's mess that did all this.
Good point.
If he was the one that was, like, bribing all these guys, making all this menace, why not kill Uncle Phil, or at least put him in big boy timeout, and punish all those guys in some way, shape, or form? Take away their titles, do something. Granted, they could lead a revolution. Like, there are many other options instead of just killing them in the middle of the night.
This is where I think the difference rests in between Alfred and Edward. My sense is that everything Edward has done so far, Alfred would have done up until Phil. I even think that Alfred would have kept Phil where he was, just like Edward did, until the moment of reckoning, where it was like, these guys took all the bribes, and I know, and he doesn't say it, but it's said, I know it was Phil who did it all. And Phil's freaking out, this isn't the way that you do things, yada, yada, because he's not getting his way, right?
Exactly.
The demarcation point between Alfred and Edward is at that moment. Mm-hmm. My sense is that Alfred would have taken Phil and put him right in the gallows. Well, not the gallows, but maybe in prison or whatever. Yet we don't get that reaction from Edward.
No.
Why is that?
Because he's a little boy who is still waiting to have, like, someone. I don't know. I think it's because little boy syndrome.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting.
Look what I've done. Man that I kind of have looked up to, but now I'm mad at.
But this is an actual...
I mean, also was his wife's dad.
Yeah.
So that could probably go badly. Plus he needs his money.
Also very true. But as the king, you would imagine that he could just assume...
None of that's fleshed out, though, for us as a viewer. And so I don't appreciate that. Why do they die and not Phil?
So, unless that action is coming down the road. Like, at that moment, it's not about, you know, I mean...
Because now, to me, Phil is just going to cause even more chaos because now he's gotten away with it. And it's like, no, Alfred would have been two steps ahead of this. Not... Edward's a little boy who is making poor choices, and what he's now just done is let Phil into knowing that he doesn't trust him. And now Phil's just going to go pull even more strings with his piggy bank.
Well, let me say this. Artistically, I will say that I can reason my way around not having a reaction to Phil in this very moment, because that very moment is getting Edward to fulfill the shadow that, you know,
he just
enveloped
all the other eldermen.
I know. It's about getting Edward on the throne. If there isn't a reaction to Phil by next episode, then I'm going to say, what the hell are we doing?
Okay.
Right? Because I like the artistic choice. Let's make that.
I think
emphasis.
Edward wants him to see, look what I still did. Like, I think it's little boy syndrome.
Yeah. That's all very fair. All very fair. I just wonder. I wonder what's.
I think
coming.
Phil wants to be a cockroach. He won't be. He wants to.
Here's my guess. League. Here's my guess. Edward says, "Phil, take a hike." Like, he won't put him in jail. He won't do anything because that's his father-in-law. You know, whatever. Something has to come of this. Something has to. My sense is that it's just like, okay, you're banished from the, you know, court or whatever. And that then will give us, you know, some kind of comeuppance for Edward, because Phil will manage to make an army or whatever. Who knows?
He's got all the money.
Yeah, right. So that's because we've already seen his influence among the people of Mercia, mm-hmm. and the surrounding countries and communities. Mm-hmm. So, like, there has to be something that comes of that. I guess my question to you, Mary, is: you may not agree with the application of the process, but do you agree with the logic of the process, which is
Edward wants to be king of everything?
Yes, and it's based off of the idea that Alfred wanted one single king, and Edward finally saw a way to make that happen, even though it went against his sister's wishes, and it went against the law of Mercia. We finally see a united, you know, front.
What is
for
your
the
question
part.
To me about that?
Do you believe in the logic behind the decision? Like, is it fair that Alfred is the king, or should Mercia have its own? Should Mercia be allowed to elect him as king, or allowed to choose whoever they want?
So first off, I'm from Rhode Island, one of the original 13 colonies of the United States. I don't want to play by anybody else's rules. Let Mercia do what Mercia wants to do. Okay? Fair. They've been fine. Stop being greedy, Edward. You're flippant, okay? You just killed all these eldermen. Do you think these people really are going to want you for king when they find out what you just did to all their eldermen who they love, who have taken care of them, and now their beloved queen is dead, and her one dying wish was for her daughter to take over? This country loved her. This country loved the eldermen. You're just as bad as guy who has a bird. Whatever, Ethelred.
Ethelred.
Just being a bozo, being like, I want more.
You know...
Bozo.
I'm not sure if I disagree with Edward in this moment.
All he needs is a bird. I got an extra one flying around somewhere.
What did you think about his dealings, Edward's dealings with Ethelstan and the whole thing?
So freaking awkward, okay?
Yeah.
Too little too late, man. Too little too late. I'm just excited because one day you're going to die and that kid's going to be king. I know that thanks to the super that happened underneath his name. But I loved Ethelstan during that. Ethelstan took a nice high approach. That kid is there to learn.
Mm-hmm. And he's going with Uhtred. He ain't going with the king. Like,
correct.
He's like, no, my place is with Uhtred.
Correct.
And they share a really understated scene, by the way, where you see Uhtred in his way, where he's gotten older and wiser. I mean, if not in looks, at least in composure, which is Ethelstan says, I can't believe that this is happening. You know, how is he going to, you know, how does he think he's going to be king of this place? And Uhtred says something to the effect of, I fear that this is the only way that it can happen. You know, it's like this wealth of knowledge is being dropped on Ethelstan. Mm-hmm. And it's so subtle and perfect in an Uhtred kind of way.
Mm-hmm. He's basically just saying, I've been around this block many a times, man. Nothing changes.
That's true.
Until you take over.
That's true. That's true. I just wonder, the only person that the show really still... kind of whitewashes in terms of his, you know, characterization is Uhtred. He is the straight up hero of this show. There's no, I don't see any, except for season one, I don't see any kind of gray area with him. Like, he's always going to do the right thing. For the most, he may not succeed, but he'll always try to do the right thing. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, you got anything else for this episode, my love?
Goodbye, Ethelfled. Rest in peace.
Yeah, that scene between she and Uhtred.
Dying in the snow, held in the arms of Uhtred.
Spectacular.
Listen, if you get to choose your own adventure for death.
Hey, Madon.
Sign me up.
Yeah. Such a beautiful scene. And the kiss and the whole thing and the years of love shared between the two of them. Mm-hmm. Finally, in these last moments, being able to.
Chef's kiss.
Yeah, just like couldn't ask for more. Potent and pertinent denouement for Ethelfled.
Agreed.
And the sadness and everything that's associated with her death. Mm-hmm. You can think we're going to get more of Edith, or is she done now?
I think she'll hang around.
Yeah.
She's got to eat, you know, so she needs a job. I don't know what she'll do. I don't think she's going to be common on screen.
Yeah.
There's nobody for her to hook up with. Does she stay Mercia? Does she become Edward's medicine woman? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think she's going to die.
I don't know either. All right. Anything else?
That is it.
All right, I got a theory. Ready?
Yes.
Here we go. Someone we did not talk about was Edward's wife, Ailfled. Or is it Ailfled?
Whatever, the blonde.
Yeah, sure. The wife. She's going to Scotland, and you know, obviously we knew about
on this pilgrimage,
and she's gonna do it against the wishes of Edward. Don't sleep on this trip to Scotland. Don't sleep on it. Something's up.
I want to go on that trip to Scotland. Giddy up!
I'm telling you, something's coming out of this, and it's something's coming out of this with King Constantine, and how
who's King Constantine?
He's the the leader of the Eastern Roman Empire, right? Like he's for
but they're
all
going
the,
to Scotland
Catholics and the whole thing. I know, but the way that it's posed in the show is by her going there, that means that Wessex is laying claim to Scotland, right? And that's going to be a problem with King Constantine, right? Okay, so great.
Okay, now I'm understanding. Sorry.
Don't sleep on this. Something's coming out of this. And I wonder if this...
Will they find the stones that take them forward in time, possibly back in time?
You know what? Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. But all I'm going to say is...
Did a fire assassin.
Yes.
So...
That's what I want to say to that wife.
Yeah. I think...
Blondie, Dinafash.
Dinafash, kiddo. Something's coming out of this.
You know, I don't know if she's ready for a road trip. She doesn't look hardy. And this pilgrim girl, she seems like a hardy girl. You know, like she's probably someone who can eat root vegetables raw, you know, find some onions, just get by, maybe eat some grass if you need to. And I don't know if Blondie's ready for the harsh environment of a road trip. There's no gas stations to get Cheetos, Powerade.
Or combos.
You know, her carry-on alone is going to be her hair tools.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the combos are an essential road trip food. If you're on a road trip, you don't got combos,
like combos.
It ain't a road trip. I'm just saying that straight out.
That's okay.
Yeah. So,
or do I like combos?
No, you do like combos.
Okay. I don't like the trumpet things.
No, you don't like those. Those are the, what are those calls?
It's okay. We're moving on.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. So don't sleep on this trip. Something's coming out of this. There's going to be either a deal struck in some way or some form, or the wife's going to get captured. Something's coming out of this.
Okay.
But
I'm here for it.
That's that.
As long as we get to Scotland. Nothing happens before we get to Scotland. Okay. I need some Highlands. I need some locks.
All right. Ready to close out?
Yes.
Let's do it.
We want to thank you all so incredibly much for delving into The Last Kingdom with Blake and I. If you have not yet left us a written review in iTunes, whether or not you listen to iTunes, maybe you're a YouTube person, maybe you like a different podcast app, just know that there is the app iTunes, and that is where a lot of people find this stuff. And so if you could go there and leave us a sentence or two, letting others know about why you enjoy this podcast, it would mean a lot to us and these future listeners that you don't even know. You could be, you know, trying to convert them to the ways of Mary and Blake. Think of all the coughing they can listen to over this past year's worth of recording. Just kidding. But you know what I mean. It truly makes Blake and my day when we get to go and read those new reviews.
Yes, absolutely. So please go ahead, if we provide any value for you whatsoever, go ahead and send a review over to Apple Podcasts. And of course, go to jointhenerdclan.com, which is a very special place for all the Nerd Clan members, where you get a bunch of great, cool, fun swag and extra special content that Mary and I do, and also a great community, which is above and beyond, as we have said earlier in this podcast, above and beyond the Facebook group that is for free. You want to be there, and you want to be able to experience the fun nature of jointhenerdclan.com. You're missing out if you're not there. So that is that, of course. We will be back, hopefully, relatively soon with another episode. As for now, ladies and gents.
My name's Mary.
My name is Blake.
I'm already down to 83 ounces left.
Holy smoke. You did like 15 ounces of water while we were just on this podcast alone.
No, honey, that's more. 128.
No, you started off at 98.
No, I started at 128.
Did you really? No, wow. Holy smokes.
Mm-hmm. I don't play,
man. You did,
man,
like 40 ounces of water.
Listen, I need to get better. They say drink water. I drink water. I go all in.
Yeah.
Like when it comes to water. Other things, I'm like, meh.
Well, and if it's a Cuban mojito, you're all in on that, too.
You know it. I'm in on liquids. What can I say? My name's Mary.
My name is Blake.
Destiny is all.